Matthew and the worship team. Merry Christmas, everybody, whether you're joining us for the live streaming part of the service or for a recorded version of it later. Good to be together like this through this medium. And Merry Christmas. I think that's the last time I'm going to say it this year. And we're glad that you're here. We're going to look at God's Word together in a few minutes. And we're concluding our series on living hope. And as we do that, I want you to think of three questions as we begin and as we go throughout God's Word. And we see the Lord Jesus through the eyes of two senior citizens. What gives you hope? And how do you keep that hope alive? And how do you share that hope? I remember the time when we went to the hospital because our firstborn was about to happen. And I remember something specifically, but Lynn was in labor for 36 hours, and she was in agony at times, and I thought, oh no, it made me seriously reevaluate the number of kids that we wanted to have. But as she went through that, we did prenatal classes. I forgot everything I learned in those. I had her hyperventilating at one time. The duty nurse said, why don't you go down the hall and get a cup of coffee? Well, she restored her breathing to a normal level. And I remember Lynn's pain. That was vivid. I remember, though, the joy on her face when she was holding the genetic product of ourselves, little Lindsay Dawn Campbell, in her arms. And I saw the joy in her face after all that pain. And I shared in that joy like never I was able to before. And I also remember later on when we dedicated her to the Lord. We took her to Surrey Alliance Church where we were pastoring at the time. And the pastor prayed for our daughter, Lindsay, it was about a month after she was born. I remember his prayer, and it was full of hope. And it gave me hope as a new dad, and I hope Lynn, too, as a new mom. And I thought, what will this little one become? What will God do with her now that we've dedicated her to the Lord? And, you know, it's easy to say the answer to that right now, because Lindsay's grown up to be a beautiful mom, a great wife, and she continues to be an awesome daughter. She's got five kids. She's got lots of work cut out for her. It's always like a crisis management at home, and she's doing a great job. And I have to think that those prayers and our input in her life helped her to be that kind of person. But way back then, when she was dedicated, I looked at her, and I wondered, my hopes were that she would be all that she is today. And it happened, and it was a beautiful realization of hope. We're going to look at a story here in Luke chapter 2 where Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to the temple to dedicate him to the Lord. It was a custom back then, and it started way back in the Old Testament with Samuel, when Samuel was brought before the Lord by his parents. And they were continuing in that tradition. You know, Luke, the author of this story, is an amazing historian. He took meticulous notes. He wrote the most in the New Testament. If we add all the chapters of Luke and the book of Acts, which is written by him, he was the most voluminous writer in the New Testament. He was a medical doctor and described by Paul as a beloved physician. He also accompanied Paul on his missionary journeys. He was a real observer, not just of medical conditions, but of human behavior. I like to think he focused on the overlooked, the marginalized of society. I call them the 4L Club, the last, the littlest, the least, and the lost. And it seemed like Luke, he liked to focus on those people, the ones that everybody ignored. He honed in on, and he has this beautiful story of two senior citizens in the temple who received Jesus. They talk about his significance in history. In the birth narrative, these two people come in. Simeon and Anna were always around the religious community, and Luke underlines their reaction to the arrival of Jesus in history. Let's read the story in Luke chapter 2, 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." The child's mother and father marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel from the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel. You know, these two individuals were not related by any family or marriage like in the previous stories. They were just two guided by the Holy Spirit to the place of worship. They were both waiting in expectancy for the arrival of Israel's redemption. And you know, the Bible uses different words to describe that redemption. It can be described as consolation, when you're consoled and you have comfort and peace, somebody comforts you. It can be described as encouragement, where you're boosted in your spirit because of the good news. They were both waiting in that attitude of expectancy. You know, I wonder how many times did they go to the temple? They've been there for years. They were regular attenders. You know, if people look around, oh, yep, there's Simeon. Yep, there's the prophet Anna. They were regular attenders in the place of worship. And they were led by the Spirit. You know, it wasn't family relationship that brought them together. It was like the Holy Spirit brought them together. They were pious and devout. They dedicated a lot of their time being there. In fact, I would say that this serving led them to a spiritual sensitivity that tuned them into the arrival of the consolation of Israel. Another thing that they're similar about is that they were led there. They were prompted, and they heeded the prompting of the Holy Spirit. They both praised God for the consolation of Israel, and this praise was leading to it led into a prophecy on Simeon's part, and it led into the sharing of the good news by Anna. You know, when you're led by the Spirit, it seems like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that the gifts that He's given you, they come alive. And that it was in that atmosphere of the praise of in the temple of the arrival of Jesus, where the gifting of God came alive in the prophecy of Simeon and in the sharing of the good news by Anna with others. The Holy Spirit's prompting was always a part of their lives. And do you have that prompting in your sense of worship? Especially now that in-person services don't really happen at our church building. Is there a geographic place and a place in your heart where you meet with God? You know, we've all waited. Some of us, hopefully, for something good in our lives. I've waited in dread a few times, too, in my life. I much prefer the waiting with anticipation and expectation and fulfillment. You know, I work with seniors in our church, And I find it fascinating that how two people who are near the end of their earthly lives got such hope in Jesus, who is just starting his life. If you're human, you've spent some time waiting. We wait not just in lineups, but we wait sometimes with longing for something to happen. And that was the case with Simeon and Anna when they were in the temple. There was this deep yearning. How many babies had Simeon dedicated? How many songs of praise had Anna sung? How many times had Anna prophesied herself in the temple? Day in and day out, they put their time in there. But this, through the Holy Spirit's coordination, through this divine prompting, they got together and they saw the consolation of Israel. You know, meeting Jesus wasn't the last thing on Simeon's bucket list. Really, it was the only thing. It was the only thing that he really wanted in life, is to see the salvation of Israel come. There's a lot I could say, but I just want to say this. This past week, there were some things that happened that discouraged me in some ways, because I had two friends die. Dick Ogden passed away, and my friend Judy Harris, who helped me in the Alpha program, passed away. But you know, it was great because I had visits with them in the past little while, safe distance visits with masks on, etc. But I talked with them, and they had hope. Dick, who was racked with pain, he had hope that one day he was going to meet his Savior. And Judy also, she loved sharing about Jesus in the Alpha program. And I talked with her. Last time I saw her, she was walking her dog at Mill Lake. That was only a few weeks ago. And we talked about the Alpha program and the good news that is shared in that program, and she took comfort at that. And you know, I feel that as they got closer to the end of their lives, what loomed large in their consciousness was the Spirit of God giving them hope and encouragement through their relationship with Jesus Christ. And it helped them go from this life to eternal life. I have a good friend by the name of Bill Gates. He's passed away about a year and a half ago now. And Bill used to be a pastor here at this church. He wrote a couple of books about the advent or the second coming of Jesus Christ. He was a real student of the second coming. And I enjoyed his books. He wrote Apocalypse Now and The Economy to Come. But he had a real avid interest in the Lord's coming back. And you know, I long for that sometimes. And I know that during this past year, our longing may have been increased and accentuated by the fact that we couldn't meet together. A lot of our creature comforts as citizens of Western civilization have been cut short. But there's this one hope that I have, that Jesus is coming back. I know there are a lot of signs in the New Testament that say, you know, things like, in the last days there will be famines, there will be disasters, there will be earthquakes, the love of many will grow cold. And I remember one conversation I had with Bill about love being the key thing in these last days, that will pour out love, that people will long for the love of God because of him. Sorry, my phone is ringing in my pocket. It kind of took my... I thought, who is calling me now? Derailed my train of thought, but let's get back on it. Bill was talking mainly about the love of God and how that connects us and draws us in and makes us feel like we're part of his family. And you know, I really miss that. I miss the connection, the physical contact, the shaking of hands, the hugging, and the just fellowshipping over meals and things like that. But you know, we can love. We can practically love people at this time of our lives. We can give them a call. We can get on a Zoom call with them. We can still have a safe distance coffee once in a while. Simeon saw the infant Jesus as God's salvation. And I was wondering, do you see Jesus this way? Anna saw him as God's salvation also, the consolation of Israel, the encouragement for her people. And she shared about that freely. And one of the ways I think we can apply today's message is that we can get out there and tell others. We may be limited in our contact with them, but you can make a phone call. When was the last time that you had a chance to talk with somebody about the hope that is within you? And I want us to think about an application, too, of the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives. Are we led by the Spirit? Are we prompted to notice things that would normally go unnoticed? I think we can do those kind of things when the Holy Spirit of God is within us. Now, I'd like us to take a look at a photo of Simeon. And there he is. I imagine he's taken Jesus in his gnarly mitts. I call them gnarly because I think he's got old hands, maybe calloused, weather-beaten, wrinkled, venous. He's taking Jesus in his hands. And I want you to close your eyes and imagine, I want you to look at a baby in your hands like Simeon would have in his hands. Join me in this use of our imagination. And you're looking at this child. Do you see his life? Do you see what Simeon sees? This baby would grow up to be a man. There'd be sweat on his chest, dirt in his fingernails, sawdust in his hair from his workshop. The baby would grow to be a man. The baby would teach. This man would be the salvation that Israel's been waiting for. He would teach about the kingdom of God. He would live the kingdom of God. He would heal. He would cast out demons. He would expose hypocrisy and self-righteousness in religion. He would eventually go to the cross, and he would give his life on that cross for you and for me. And now I want you to feel like you're in Jesus' arms and he's cradling you. And the Son of God is looking into your eyes. And he's saying, I love you so much that I gave myself for you. I forgive you. I love you. I give you the gift of eternal life. I know there's a lot of people in our congregation that are full of pain and fear. There's pain of separation. People have lost spouses recently. I want you to feel like Jesus is cradling you now, and he understands that pain. He understands that fear. He understands the agony of separation. He understands the desire, the longing that you have for forgiveness and fullness in your life. And he wants to come and fill that. And as you look at him and him looking at you, when you realize he's given himself for you. We have hope because of what he's done for us on the cross, because of how he's risen from the dead, because of how he lives now for you and me, and how he gives us eternal, abundant life here and now. The first advent was longed for by all believers, among them Simeon and Anna. Is our longing for the second advent going to be met soon? Let's ask the Holy Spirit to tune us into what God is saying in these days.